Hey, Barry.
Yeah.
Is your finger on the trigger?
It's been going.
Then let's rock and roll, baby. Little Richard and Jerry Lee Lewis got nothing on us. Welcome to another rockin' version of Political QRM.
We are back, folks. We are back. So much has happened in what, 1 week? My gosh. I mean, where do we start?
Where do we start? I'll tell you where we start.
Let's start
with the fact that a lot of the stuff that has come out of the Democratic National Committee, the Democrat Party, the Democrat candidates, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, anything with a D in front of it.
Okay.
Had it come out of anything with an R in front of it, would be grounds for mob riots with torches and pitchforks and shovels and rakes and implements of destruction tearing down whatever building a person was in.
Yeah.
Let's start with the chains remarks.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. Good old Biden. Good old Joe, who happens to be
the gift that keeps on giving.
I'm not kidding. The man is such an idiot. It is unbelievable. I mean,
you know, his handlers have actually been ordered to keep a tighter rein on him.
Isn't that horrible? Now this man is one step away from the presidency.
Oh, the heck with the fact that he's a candidate. Yes, he's one heartbeat from the presidency.
Yeah. That's scary. That is really scary. You know what's even more frightening to me is that, and I really didn't know this, that he got his JD from Syracuse Law School. Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you. I can't believe it.
Oh, because, yeah.
I mean, the man, but you know what? He almost didn't get it because he was accused of plagiarism.
Well, he's been found guilty of plagiarism in the past.
He's an idiot.
He was censured by the Senate for plagiarism, for crying out loud. This man, you know, has not had an individual thought in the last 40 years. Mm-hmm. And the thoughts that he has had that are individual thoughts were not good thoughts to be putting out there on the public airwaves. Mm-hmm.
I cannot believe that he actually said that, and the chains thing, you know, put y'all in the chains is like what?
And this after the quote unquote Haji comment, you know, well, you can't walk into a 7-Eleven, you know. Yeah, and people say, oh, you Republicans are racists.
Wait a minute. I have to bring this up because Derek Hunter on townhall.com did write a column, okay, yesterday, and he just started, it's a long column, however, I have his great quotes. He says, well, the first thing he does is he's at that, he tells a crowd of black voters that his opponent is going to put y'all back in chains in the South, then he mocks a woman doing sign language for the crowd with a bunch of hand gestures, okay? He's in Virginia, and then he tells the crowd he's in North Carolina, all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay?
Yeah.
And when he was running for president, okay, and he called the future president clean and articulate. Yeah. And then, yeah, you can't go into a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts without a slight Indian accent. And, I mean, the man is just unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Well, as I said, the gift that keeps on giving, you know, and then you get into the issues as to whether it's racially, religiously, politically correct, tolerant, and stuff. I mean, we started out this week with a police captain out in the lower plains, I want to say the panhandle somewhere. He's a devout practicing Christian, and he refused to not only go to a Muslim sensitivity training thing at a mosque, but he refused to put any of the people under him in his command on the list of the roster of people to attend this sensitivity training thing. And I took issue with that. I did. I started to write an essay, and I didn't get it published yet. He said, well, he's not allowed as a practicing devout Christian to proselytize while in uniform.
Okay.
Well, that creates a logical fallacy for his argument on not sending any of his people nor going or attending this required quote-unquote sensitivity training. Now, I'm not in favor of the training itself, mind you. You know better.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to sit there and say, well, I can't proselytize in uniform, then your command decisions in uniform cannot be tainted by your faith either. If you're going to stand on that leg, you have to either stand on it with both legs or none at all.
So wait a minute, let me get this straight. So the man is saying that he's not going to go to the sensitivity training because...
He's not going to go, and he's not going to send any of his people because it flies in the face of his sensibilities as a practicing devout Christian.
Heck, I think that flies in the face of his sensibilities of being an American, tell you the guy.
Had he said it was because of his being an American, there would have been an out. But he blamed it on the same thing that says he cannot proselytize in uniform. You can't have it both ways, boys and girls. As I said, stand on both feet or none.
Well, wait a minute. Do you think maybe that this could be... Don't forget... The Christians are getting a lot of flack from the Muslims.
Tulsa, Oklahoma, by the way. Oklahoma.
My God. But you know what? It's like, okay, we can't be Christian, but they can,
I have no problem. I have no problem with said argument.
Okay.
But so if you're going to stand on the argument in one direction, you have to stand on it in both directions. You can't pick and choose. This ain't a Chinese restaurant, boys and girls. It's not one from column A and two from column B. You either are or you are not. If your Christian devout practicing faith prohibits you from doing something, fine.
Okay.
If it insists or mandates that you do something, fine. But if you're in a position where you have to sacrifice one or the other, you have to do them equivocally across the board. You can't pick and choose. Let me carry this further, because that was only by way of, okay?
Okay.
So now here's this fellow who's got himself tied up in his own Gordian knot. He tied this knot himself. This isn't something the ACLU did. This isn't something that CARE did. He tied himself in this knot. But yet we have a mayor in Westchester County, New York, who let me see if I can bring it up real quick. In Westchester County, New York, on Hastings-on-Hudson,
mm-hmm.
who says that it's... You can't... say, because there was a movement that said this is not Islamophobia, this is Islamo-reality. And he said it's not a question of whether it's reality phobia or otherwise, it's a question of by broad brush painting a spiritual faith. And he takes issue with road signs in Hastings. Swiderski, Peter Swiderski, put a letter to the people of Hastings-on-Hudson about road signs that said, so many people have been killed since the 9/11 attacks. He's like, he doesn't question the truth or the veracity of the billboard. He just finds it disgraceful to tar a faith and its followers because of the actions of a few. And it's amazing considering that few, given almost 20,000 attacks that took place, you know, have killed this many people. It is granted a few. Okay, all right. But he says it's a problem because it's tarring and feathering an entire religion based on the actions of a few. Not that he disagrees with the numbers, but it's political correctness, once again, carried off the end of the earth. And I'd like to know, and I don't, I'm going to check right now. I'm going to check right now. Because I don't know if this guy's a Republican. I don't know if this guy's a Democrat.
So he's basically saying they have to take the sign down?
I don't know if he's saying they have to take the sign down. But the idea is that you can't have it both ways. You know, if you want to fight, boys and girls, and believe me, I do, then pick your spot, put up your dukes, and fight.
Look, Lou, I'm going to tell you right now, especially what's been going on in the Mideast, okay, over the past week, let's just, you know, you have a
we've lost nine.
More than that. I think we've lost two more were killed, and they're not too sure whether it was one of the other countries or our guys, all right? But still, these are supposed to be people that were supposed to be training. They did change the rules now on base.
Yes, they
Everybody
did.
Everybody has to be armed, thank God.
Everybody has to be armed. Now, wait a second. Here's my take on this as the old former GI sergeant.
Yeah.
What part of this surprises anybody?
What? The fact that we're getting killed like that? We're getting picked off?
That we're being killed, that we're being picked off by the people that were, quote-unquote, there to train and advise and da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, you know something? Yeah. Okay. We're going to get into something here that it may be a little sensitive, but I really don't care anymore. I think people have to recognize and have to understand that the Muslims don't like us. Okay? I'm sorry.
I haven't met a good one yet.
Sorry.
They want us gone.
Okay, so...
They want us gone out of their countries, and they want us dead in ours.
Well, you know what? I'll leave their countries, but then you know what? They have to leave mine. Simple as that.
I'm all right with that.
Yeah.
I'm all right with that. Say, yeah, you want to go and, hey, look, you can, you know, it's the old George Carlin routine.
Yeah.
You know, well, we'll meet with the king of this, and we'll send our daughter over there, and they'll have a boy, and, you know, then they'll merge with this, and then you'll be the pink on the map, and we'll be the green, and they'll be the blue. You know, look, I have no problem with that. Get in your own country, shut up and sit down, do what you do, you know, do what you want to do. You want to farm, you want to drill for oil, you want to mine coal, you know, whatever it is you want to do, just do it, and you become part of the civilized nations of the world. And the minute you become something other than the civilized nations of the world, we bomb you back beyond where your ancestors thought you were 3,000 years ago, and you can start over.
Yeah. See, listen, let me just give you a quick rundown of what happened last week, okay? First, you had Ahmadinejad saying Israel's existence is an insult to all humanity.
Insult to all of humanity.
Yes. And he said that confronting Israel is an effort to protect the dignity of all human beings. You believe this crap? Okay.
Wait. Yes, I believe it.
Second, a Saudi cleric questions the Holocaust. Al-Odeh also perpetuates blood libel against the Jews. Listen to this. A prominent Saudi Arabian religious cleric declared that the Holocaust is an exaggeration, quote unquote, and that Jewish people consume the blood of children during religious rituals. Are you kidding me? They say they use the blood to make the matzahs.
Listen.
Okay?
That stuff has been flying around over there for 2,000 years.
I mean, it's stupid.
And anybody that lives in, you know, one of the mud huts over there, mud brick hut, you know, here we are in the 21st century, and
this
they insist
Saudi Arabia,
on living in mud.
For God's sake.
And if they're going to believe that stuff without... Look, I tell people here in this country all the time, I don't care what you read online, Google it for crying out loud, check.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if these people want to swallow hook, line, and sinker, whatever, Ahmadinejad or, you know, whatever amounts of phlegm and mucus you have to use to pronounce his name, you know, you know, if they want to swallow that stuff, hook, line, sinker, rod, reel, tackle box, boat.
Okay.
without checking. That's their problem. That's their business. That's their country. Live there. Have a nice day.
Yeah, no.
You know, here we are in the 21st century. We have things like electric lights. We have things like, you know, antivirals. We mm-hmm. have antibacterials. Mm-hmm. Right. We have antibiotics. You want to live in the 12th century? Good for you. We have the... Go ahead. Have a nice day.
Yeah. Listen to what's happening over in Great Britain. Now, this is from Family Security Matters, okay? And it's... And this is an article there. It says, British teachers are reluctant to discuss the medieval crusades in which Christians fought Muslim armies for control of Jerusalem. The lessons often contradict what is taught in mosques. And they're also dropping the Holocaust from history lessons. And in one of these, in a school in Cheshire, two students were punished by the teacher for refusing to pray to Allah as part of their religious education class. Now listen to this, in Scotland, 30 non-Muslim children from the Parkview Primary School recently were required to visit a mosque in the York Hill district of Glasgow. At the mosque, the children were instructed to recite the Shahada, the Muslim declaration of faith, which states there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his messenger. And Muslims are also demanding that Islamic preachers be sent to every school in Scotland to teach children about Islam.
Right. Now, what if they took, and that's Scotland, okay?
This is Scotland and Great Britain. This is schools across
Scotland,
Britain.
Great Britain.
Schools in Britain are banning pork from lunch menus to avoid offending Muslims. Wait a minute.
Can you imagine anywhere in this country?
Yeah.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
That they took the kids on a sensitivity training and said, here we are in a basilica, a cathedral, a church, and we're all going to go up to the communion rail. We're going to kneel. We're going to take the wafer, and we're going to, you know, Corpus Christi, you mm-hmm. know, amen, you know. And the ACLU would be the least
yeah,
of
exactly.
people's worries.
Exactly.
There would be rioting
in the streets.
In the streets.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
because everybody, and I know I've pointed to this before, there's that CGI graphic-based YouTube channel where yeah. the one famous one that I keep pointing to is How Liberals Argue, and it goes right to this.
Right.
You know, it's like, no, you are a warmonger. You must watch Fox News. You must listen to Rush Limbaugh. You are purveying hate speech. Because if it happens to a Muslim, then it's politically correct. It's sensitivity. It's all of these wonderful, touchy-feely, fuzzy, warmy things, and yet if it's a Christian or a Jew, well, then you're a hate monger, you're forcing your views on us,
mm-hmm.
All of these things. You know, people keep saying the Judeo-Christian, the Judeo-Christian, the Judeo-Christian.
Yeah.
And I have always leaned on the word Abrahamic.
Okay.
All of the religions based in Ibrahim.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham.
Right.
Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
Includes Islam.
Yeah, true.
And if you're going to be anti-one, you've got to be anti-all three.
Yeah, but they all took different paths.
They took different paths, but you still have to be open to all of them.
Not anymore. Because let me
now,
tell you,
everybody,
you know, I get this thing. Well, you know, the Catholics, you know, the Crusades. Oh, I'm sorry, the Crusades were in the 1400s, dear. I think we kind of learned.
I think we moved on just a bit,
just a touch. You know, the Muslims haven't. Okay, Islam has not. Islam, as a matter of fact, if it made any strides at all, forget it. It's gone. It's
well,
gone.
People say that the war between the states, the war of northern aggression, the civil war, whatever tag you want to put on it. People say, well, you know, there are still precincts in the South where it's still being fought. Yeah, okay. And, you know, the South will rise again, and John Brown's body lives a mold in the grave and all this other stuff. And it's like, well, you know, people fly in the stars and bars and all that hyperbole. And you look at it and say, well, you know what, it's less than 200 years ago.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between 200 years ago and 1,000 years ago.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between 200 years ago and 12 or 1400 years ago. People tend, you know what? 1,000 years from now, I bet you there won't be anybody in the South saying, well, we're going to rise again. Yeah. Because we'll have moved on.
Right. Yeah.
They don't.
Yeah. The reason why I want to focus a lot on Islam, and especially in the United States, and how they are going through and in every aspect of our lives, is that last month I was at a reception locally. We have a very generous couple. He is a former ambassador and his wife, and they are very politically connected, yes, and you know, in tune. And they happened to have Mr. Frank Gaffney, who's head of the Center for Security Policy. And it was a nice reception, and it was a little bit of a fundraiser for the Center for Security Policy. It is a nonpartisan, and it is a 501(c). Thank you, 501(c). And but the thing is that what he was focusing on was how Sharia law is being shoved in our faces, and how it is affecting American life. I have to admit, it was very, very scary to listen to him, because there is a threat from Sharia to America, and they have
there's a threat from Sharia to everything other than Sharia Muslims.
Yes, but what you have to understand is that, you know, they're focusing on America right now too.
Well, here's my take on it. Here's my thing. If it's not something you'd let a Christian do, or it's not something you'd let a Jew do, or it's not something you'd let a Hindu do, or it's not something you'd let a Baha'i or a Jainist or a Taoist or a pagan do, then why is it something you'll allow a Muslim to do? If it's not something you'd let a white person do, or a black person do, or a yellow person do, or a brown person do, why is it something you'll allow anyone else to do? Look, we are guaranteed equal opportunity, but we are not guaranteed equal results.
Yeah,
what's good
exactly
for the goose is good for the gander in this country. Now, what Britain wants to do with their problem, because they made their bet, sorry, you know, they got to sleep in it. Whatever France or Greece or Morocco or
right.
Rio or any place else wants to do with their bed that they made, that's their business. They have to sleep in it. But here in this country, where we make everybody's bed out of the same wood and we make everybody's mattress out of the same feathers, you can't pick and choose. It has to be all or nothing.
What do you mean, all or nothing as far as respecting our law or what?
As far as respecting our law, there are no options. It's our law.
Well, that's right, but I don't want to bring Sharia.
Yeah,
if
as far as that's concerned, you know, look, if you've got a couple of guys and a girl, and there's a issue as to whether or not, you know, the one, you know, should be seeing the other, and you know, stuff like that, and you want to go to, let me face it, people go to their priest, people go to their rabbi.
Mm-hmm.
People go to their minister. You want to solve, you know, immediate family problems within the confines of your faith group, congregation, you know, that's fine. You know, but as far as actually what carries the force of law in this country, is the Constitution of the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and the Constitution's attendant to each of the states therein. As, you know, as far as ameliorating that discussion, you know, with any other faith-based input, that's baloney, and it has not. You know what? In faith or lack thereof, based input, whether it's an atheist, an Islamist, a Taoist, a Shintoist, It has no bearing. The law of the land is the law of the land. Now,
yes, but you have states like Oklahoma that has passed a law that has said Sharia law, no other law shall figure into any case in our state, only Oklahoma state law and federal law. And yet you
no
have Carr. They had to. Yet Carr, the Council on American Islamic Relations, has come out and they have asked for an injunction. And guess what? That law right now is being fought by them. And you had a judge.
I'll tell you what.
What?
I would like to see that law struck down.
Why? I think it's necessary. Because you
I
do
don't
know
think
it.
It
excuse
is.
Me. Yes, it is. In New Jersey, there has been a judge already that has ruled that yes, this man can use Sharia law in some sort of something that was going on. Okay? You had
all
it
right.
also being used in Florida, whereas a man
my
wanted
point
to divorce
is
his
wife. That no. if a judge exhibits that kind of dereliction.
It's not going to happen.
From the laws of the land of the United States of America, it's grounds for impeached removal.
Now, let me tell you something. The thing is
those
that...
Those laws are like saying, it's against the law to slap your kid.
Is
and
it?
Then creating another one that says it's against the law to slap the kid on the face. And then another one saying it's against the law to slap the kid on the butt. And then another law saying it's against the law to slap the kid in the confines of your home. And then another one
all
saying...
All right!
We don't need these laws. The laws of the land are the laws of the land.
But
we don't need insulation from other forms of litigation.
Yes, we do at this point in time. Because you
no,
have a whole...
No, we need people to stand there and say, we elected you. You let us down. Get out. You, not only we elected you, but you appointed this imbecile who has decided that there is indeed another matter of law before him besides the ones we have printed on countless federal, state, local, county, municipal documents,
mm-hmm.
and is using that as a candle by which to read case law.
Heck, okay.
Get out!
No, heck, I mean, you know what? Even good old Governor Chris Christie in New Jersey, considering he must have known some people that died in the Trade Center on...
You would think.
He has said that anybody that thinks that Islam is a threat is a racist and a hater. Yeah?
The man is a phenomenal fiscal conservative.
But other than that... Shut up, buddy. I'm sorry.
Other than that, exactly. Chris, shut up. Sit down.
Well, you know what? And it's just like, and actually, he appointed a judge that has had some questionable...
In which case, the judge should be recalled.
It's not going to happen.
We don't need... Look, it's like...
Let me tell you something.
Crime.
Look, there were, no. Let me tell you something. This country has been is now so messed up. So messed up with implementation of our laws... That's not happening anymore. You have an administration that's ignoring every law.
Look,
you have an administration that hates Christianity, and all these liberals out there that are now in power, they are trying to do away with Christianity. They're trying to make Judaism a crime also, and they're going, oh, let's be nice to the Muslims. Let's not misunderstand them. No, I don't misunderstand them. I know exactly what they want to do.
Unfortunately, because of the fact that you know how my memory works, or rather, actually doesn't.
Yeah, okay.
You know, I fall back to when I was a kid in high school, and the only quasi other than Othello, the only quasi Islamic name I can remember with any regularity is Ali Hakim from Oklahoma. Oddly enough. Oklahoma, the musical. When I look at the fact that we're waiting to find out if Ali Hakim in Fort Hood is going to be forcibly shaved...
You're talking about Nidal Hassan?
Nidal, yes.
Where
because
the?
Of the fact that, well, he grew his beard in observance of Ramadan.
No, he said because No, he said... That
well,
as,
his attorney said,
as a Muslim, as a religion,
right.
He has to have the beard.
And his attorney said, well, he only grew it for Ramadan.
That's baloney.
It doesn't matter because Ramadan's going to be over and he's going to have to shave. Or whether or not we should forcibly shave him.
Forcibly shave him.
As far as I'm concerned?
Yeah.
Forcibly shave him.
Yeah, that's
what I think. He is still...
In the military.
He's still a member of the United States Armed Forces. Yeah. The United States Uniform Code of Military Justice says, thou shalt not wear a beard.
That's okay, right.
So, you know, so it look, either, and the judge has found him in contempt. Well, la-dee-da.
Yeah.
You don't find him in contempt. You court-martial him for another abeyance of the Uniform Code of Military Justice.
Exactly.
And as far as, you know, look.
You know what gets me?
We don't need, it's like hate crime. Look, we can't turn around and say, you know, it's against the law to murder somebody.
Right.
And then say, but if we murder somebody and we use it, I'm sorry, in the heat of the moment, in a crime of passion, if I were to be defending my home,
mm-hmm.
let's just go for the sake, arguendo. Okay, let's just go arguendo to the fact that a person entered my home unlawfully with malice aforethought. All right, and I dialed 911, and as the cops got here, I light the guy up, and he happens to be Asian.
What about it?
So now I light this guy up, and I yell, take that, you dirty yellow whatever.
Yeah, well...
So now I get arrested, and even though I am in a position where I was defending my home, I killed this man with hate in my mind because I used an epithet.
So that means that you should be charged with a hate crime? Is that basically?
No, I don't believe that, but there are other people out there who believe that I should be prosecuted for hate crime.
Of course.
We don't need hate crime legislation. If
no,
it's against the law to kill somebody, it's against the law to kill somebody.
Let me put you this way. You're not exactly... Regardless of the reason...
If it's against the law...
It's against the law. Okay.
Now, if it's against the law to do something under the, you know, title whatever, United States Code, title whatever, Maine Code, New Hampshire Code, New Jersey Code...
Yeah, right.
Whatever the statutes and laws of West Two-Hole, right. New Jersey... It's against the law.
Right. Yep.
Now, examining any other facts sub judice from any other codex juratus is wrong.
I agree with you on
that. Period. Need to have laws saying, well, we will not acknowledge Sharia law. No! We don't need... Anyone who says, well, wait, I want to weigh this out in context of international law, of NATO law...
And there's a push for that international law.
I know there is. Look at Agenda 21.
Yep.
I know that there's a push for that. In the meantime, any judge that says, well, I want to examine this in the light of Sharia law, I'm sorry, you know... Pack your stuff, vacate your office.
Yeah. You know,
because we don't need more laws. The problem is we've got so damn many laws now that nobody can keep track of which ones are good, which ones are bad, which ones make any sense whatsoever.
True.
Which ones will hold constitutional muster,
right.
Which ones won't. We have so many laws now that are you know, contra each other.
Mm-hmm.
That we don't need more laws. What we need is more people standing there, for lack of a better way to say this, with the pitchforks and the torches saying, get your ass out of that office I'm paying for. Get out from behind that desk I bought. Put those robes we paid for on that hook. Get in your car and go away.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, it may not happen easily. But I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever that it's going to happen. I got news for you. You wake up that morning, that Friday morning in November, and find out that Mitt Romney won the election, and you're going to see an awful lot of lawsuits dismissed, retracted, redacted, waived, you're going to see an awful lot of things that have been here, there, and the next place. Not so much in the headlines, the above right. the fold, below the fold. You're going to see stuff start to disappear. You're going to see entire neighborhoods empty out.
Let's hope.
Because it's going to be the same thing. The same thing as January 21st, 1980. When Ronald Reagan raised his right hand, the hostages were released.
Yeah. Well.
And you're going to see that again. People are saying, oh, you know, we got the upper hand. We got them on the run. We got them this and that. No. You put Romney and Ryan in that big building at the end of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and this stuff's going to go away. Mm-hmm. And the parts of it that aren't going to go away are the parts of it that are burrowed in so deeply that they think they've got themselves buried in the sand deeper than Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein put together.
Yeah.
And they're going to lose.
Well, we'll see. I don't know. You know.
Because the American people, the left won't like it. They won't like it one bit. Yeah. They won't like it one bit. But then again, Piers Morgan is all but out of work. So, yeah. You know, there's hope. There's hope.
Yeah. Well, you know, Michigan has a big problem because there is a... I have an article here from the Detroit News, and the title is Law Center Wants AG to Probe Sale of Farmington School to Muslims. And it says here, the Thomas More Law Center urged Tuesday that Michigan Attorney General Bill Shute to investigate allegations of corruption involving the sale of a Farmington Hills Elementary School to a Muslim group. What happened was is that there was this old school that was for sale. Well, it was empty.
We've got one here in town.
Yeah, well, both Catholic and Jewish organizations approached the school board and said, listen, you know, we would like to maybe purchase it. And they were said, sorry, it's not for sale. Not at all. And then all of a sudden they find out that it was sold to these Muslim organization. So
I know where you're going. Let me state it for you.
Yeah,
from my perspective, I don't care if a Catholic organization and a Muslim organization tried to get it and a Jewish organization won. I don't care if all three tried to get it and a Baha'i organization
won. That's not what happened.
If there is any proof that it was due to some high-handed, some corrupt, some misled, misguided, you know, if there was anything other than straight up, here's the property, we're selling it for $100,000, bid started $80,000, and somebody came in lower than everybody else and won, well, then there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
If they were told, no, it's not for sale, and somebody else got the bid, then there's a problem because there was something improprietous occurring.
Yeah.
And the impropriety is the issue, not who the successful bidder was.
There were no bids.
Well, whether it was bids or whether it was just because of some impropriety is the issue here.
Yeah.
And whether it's Muslims or anybody else, impropriety is the issue. And if somebody can be found in the chain of command that did something improper, then that person should be removed from whatever office they hold.
The
deal should be negated.
No.
And it should
not going to happen because this is Michigan, okay? There is such a large Muslim population up in Michigan, no matter where you go. You go to Farmington, you go to Dearborn, where...
If there was a problem with the way the
Wait a minute. What? I have to ask you, what makes you think that things are going to be fairly treated and fairly heard with regard to Christian or Jewish or just American people with regard to Muslims? Where do you get that? It's not happening.
It's not happening. It's not happening.
And
you're
it's
right.
not it's going not. To happen.
Oh, I have every faith whatsoever that it will happen.
I don't. And I'll tell you why. I have to go back to this reception. When I was at this reception for Frank Gaffney, who is head of the Center of Security Policy, and I would encourage people to get on there. There is a video that it's a 10-part video in which he talks about how Sharia law has gotten into America and all different aspects of our lives, okay, and in different states. And just the introduction scared the living daylights out of me, all right? I would encourage everybody to get on the Center for Security Policy and take a look at this video. It's a 10-part video, but, you know, of course, you're not going to... It's like a course, believe me. It's very, very interesting, very enlightening, and very scary. You would not believe how bad things are in this country with regard to how Sharia law maybe some people wouldn't. I mean, especially into financial institutions, how it's going into our schools, how, you know, Christianity and Judaism are being, you know, just thrown away, and kids are being brought to mosques. I mean, that's happened already in one state where the kids were brought to a mosque and they were involved in the prayers. And it's like, what? Why? This is not necessary. These people attacked us. There is no reason why we have to get on our hands and knees, crawl over to them. And what's going on right now in the Middle East is getting me really upset, very upset. Israel, I think, is at the most danger it has ever been right now. Okay, we have our soldiers being picked off like tin cans on a fence by the Afghanis, okay, which also ticks me off. Personally, I think we should bring all of them home and then level the damn country. They want to live in the Stone Age? Sure, I'll help you.
Look,
I've had it.
My only issue is that I do believe, look, and I know I've harped on this statistic by Bob Beckel more than once. He says that there are 23 to 24% of the American people who identify themselves as liberal progressive.
Oh, Bob Beckel, he's on my blacklist too.
Okay, great, but he's the one who said 23 to 24%. That means there's 75% of the people of this country do not identify as liberal progressive.
That's right.
And with that being said... You know, the other 75% of us, once we're in a position where we don't have to worry about a president who removes his watch and his wedding band for whatever Eid or
what?
Ramadan or whatever it is that
is that what he did?
Well, you know what? I'm not sure if he did or he didn't. Because it's one of those things I haven't had a chance to vet yet, but there's an email rumor thing going around.
That's funny. He was at church on Sunday.
Well, Ramadan hasn't actually started. Ramadan doesn't start till this weekend. But I'm saying whether it was currently or in the past or whatever. But the thing is, once we get rid of, you know, a president who dreams of his father, you know, being, you know, there was an interesting op-ed piece the other day with a fellow who is now the quote-unquote brother of Barack Obama's brother, half-brother, because his brother couldn't contact the President of the United States for help to get his kid in operation.
Right.
So he contacted this other fellow to send him, please, $1,000, because in Kenya, $1,000 would buy you half the damn country.
Dinesh D'Souza. He's an author.
Dinesh D'Souza. Yeah, that's right. He's the one who... So, once we get Barack Hussein Obama out of the White House, and
yes.
Joe, gonna put y'all back in chains, blood, you know, Biden, out of the White House, and we have a couple of... And I don't mean this in a precarious manner. White bread people in that building. Once we get them in there, I think the American people, the 75%... Okay, so look, let's take 25% out for the undecided, I don't give a damn, I don't vote, all those people. Let's take 25% of that. So that still leaves 50% of the American people who are not happy with the way things are or the way things have become in the last 10, 12 years, let alone the last 3.5. They're going to turn around and they're going to get this sense of empowerment back, this energization of empowerment back into their lives that they haven't felt since probably 1980. And they're going to turn around and say, President Reagan was right. Ayn Rand was right.
Oh, yeah, well, we're discovering she's
John
right.
Adams were right.
Yeah.
Or what? Both. Yeah, I said we're right. Yeah, both of them.
Both of them were right.
Sam Adams was right. Jefferson was right. Tom Paine was right. All these people were right.
Yeah.
And this whole thing about a nation of laws, while we're a nation of laws, yes, we're a nation of laws, and we have our own laws, thank you very much. We don't need your Stone Age baloney.
Yeah.
The Jews have laws that go back 5,700 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Do we kowtow to every one of them? The Oriental, the Chinese, have laws that go back 4,200 years. Do we automatically set aside Supreme Court rulings in favor of them? No.
No.
No, we don't.
And you know what? Orthodox Jews, the ones that are... Oh, my God. Where's my brain tonight? I can't even remember. Hasidim. They're subject to our laws, and if they do something that breaks our laws, yes, they are taken away, and that's
right.
They are taken
that's
away,
right.
And they are punished, and they have no problem with that.
Now, the stuff that happens within their families, they take to their rabbi.
Yeah, just like we do. You know, when I was Catholic, I'm Catholic, and you go to the priest.
You go to your priest. You know, and I'm sure that there are people listening who have ministers or deacons or vicars, and they go to them. And there are people listening who have rabbis, and they go to them.
Exactly.
With these things that matter. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that these things don't matter. I'm saying that they matter to you and your family. You take them to your spiritual guide or.
Yep.
Yep. But when it comes right down to say, Moish, what's going on? Well, Shmuley came over here and stole diamonds from my bag. Well, I'm sorry. You don't take that to the rabbi. You take that to the cops.
Oh, no, they do take it to the cops, believe me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when the time comes and Shmuley gets hauled in before the judge and they say, okay, well, what's your alibi? I don't have one. Well, you're in jail.
Yeah.
Well, I took them because I took those diamonds from Moish because he's a Zionist pig and Islam, Allah Akbar. Well, oh, well, gee, you're Islam. Oh, you're a Muslim. Oh, well, then you have every right to take his diamonds. No! No! And I think the 50% of America that's left over by the time you take Bob Beckel's piece out, and the undecided, uncaring, indifferent people out, the 50% of us that are left are going to turn around and say, okay, where were we?
Speaking of Bob Beckel, what'd you think of his little comment about the SEALs?
The same thing I think about almost everything that he says, other than the fact that he actually put an enumeration on the number of liberals in this country for me.
I think the guy
is ever so slightly more erudite than Biden.
Yeah.
Because at least Bob Beckel never plagiarized anything that we can prove.
That's true. Not at this point. Nope. Biden, I'll tell you, Biden is a walking time bomb, I think.
Well, he's got his handlers now.
Have you
covering noticed? Everything, covering everything he's going to say, and really, basically, only turning in, walking him in to whatever speech he's got to make, literally in chains, for lack of a better way to equivocate it, and saying, okay, Mr. Vice President, here's the gig.
Have you noticed?
Here's your script.
Right. You notice him and Obama haven't campaigned together? Interesting.
Oh, is this the same thing as saying we've never seen Michael Jackson and LaToya Jackson on the stage at the same
time? No, I'm just saying. I mean, it's really weird. Ryan and Romney are,
Yeah, I mean, they're almost joined at the hip these days. I get it. But
it's good. But no, but
it is good.
Don't you think that maybe if Obama's going to stick with Biden, he should be taking him out on the campaign trail with him, and you should see them together as a team?
But who says he's going to keep Biden with him?
I know. Supposedly, rumor has it that they've already talked to Hillary, and Hillary said no, and yada, yada, yada. But he has 19 more days to decide whether or not he wants to keep Biden on the ticket.
And
oh, please, please do. Please do.
Look,
really.
Look, he could turn around and he could be in front of another group of supporters. And all he has to do is what we used to call in the old days, you know, take the dive.
Yeah.
You know, all he has to do is have chest pains.
Yeah. You know,
it doesn't have to be anything. Now, granted, the fact that Dick Cheney was able to be a vice president with real life, honest to goodness, heart problems.
Right.
But all he has to do is say, oh, I have chest pains. So he's got the honorable out.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got the honorable out. Oh, chest pains. Oh, now the Mr. Vice President, he may not be able to stay on the ticket. Oh, what are we to do? You know, and
I
got news for you. I don't care who he picks. He's out. He's out. He has proven himself to the American people to be everything we warned the American people about 3.5 years ago.
Right.
And they didn't miss the message.
No.
Oh, you're going to have, you've got people out there, you do, you've got people out there that are still saying, oh, he inherited this mess. And I saw a wonderful graphic come across my desktop. My beautiful wife sent me a beautiful graphic that came through with the President of the United States with his head in his hand. And the photoshopped in text was, poor President Obama, think of the mess he's going to inherit when he's reelected.
Oh my God, that's excellent. I love that.
Isn't that beautiful?
I love that. Perfect.
You know,
perfect.
So, but the thing is, the American people are not dolts. The American people are not stupid. Yeah, some of them are stupid.
Yes,
don't get
exactly.
me wrong.
Yeah, some of them
I mean, look,
are
there's
stupid.
Entire websites dedicated to the way people will dress walking into Walmart.
I know.
And if anybody thinks I'm kidding, just go to your Google bar and type in the word Walmartian.
Walmartian, really?
Yes. All right, and then listen, I'm warning you in advance.
Yeah.
All right, the content of these websites may be considered explicit and may be considered too unsuitable for minors or people with weak hearts.
Oh my gosh, really?
Don't you know, discretion is advised, as they say in front of the TV shows. You know what I mean? There's some scary stuff out there, boys and girls. But the American people are not all Walmartians.
That's true.
The American people are not all, thank God, country western stars.
All right. Hey, listen, I like Patsy Cline.
Well, that's different.
Okay.
That's different. Don't even try and no, I'm sorry. There's a big difference between whatever the little blonde woman who's on the front page of Fox News this afternoon and Patsy Cline.
Uh-huh.
Period.
Right.
You know. I'm sorry. There's just no. But the American people are not dolts.
Mm-hmm.
The American people are not stupid.
Mm-hmm.
The American people are not gullible, or at least not more than once.
Yeah.
The American people have heard the fact that there are more communists in the White House now than there were during FDR, and now, finally, after all these years, they're finally coming to grips with the fact that FDR had a everything from a Bund cell to a secret partisan cell, to everything else going on in that building in 1943 and Truman in 45. You know, the fact that there was a... People call the press the fourth estate.
Mm-hmm.
And in this country, it basically has gone from being the fourth estate to the fifth column.
Yeah, that's true. Yes,
and
there are no journalists anymore. There's no true journalism. It's out there, but believe me, it's not with the major networks.
And I beseech anyone listening who has no idea, and I know you do, and it's a feather in your cap.
Do I?
And I know I'm dating myself here, but I want anybody who doesn't know what I just said, I want you to go to your Google bar and please, before you Google War Martian, because your night is going to be ruined from that point forward. Google the word, just put in quotes in your Google bar, fifth column.
Oh, yeah.
And hit enter.
Yeah.
And then you'll see what I'm talking about. I know. Brown shirts, fivers, fifth columnists. You know, people don't understand these phrases anymore.
Uh-huh.
But they're there.
Yeah.
They're there, and they're marching in lockstep right down the fifth column. And there are journalists out there. People from places like Media Research Center. People from places like Breitbart. People from that. I mean, these are people who do their journalism. There are actually embedded reporters in with our troops that are doing their utmost to get the story out there, that are sitting there next to what used to be a Marine, that are sitting there on what used to be an airfield, that are sitting in what used to be an orderly room in Company A, 2nd Battalion, whatever, you know, infantry. Saying, my God, I got to get these dispatches back to my paper. And the paper takes them and says, oh, gee, we never got that.
Yeah.
The American people are ready. You want to talk change? Yeah, now we're ready for change.
Exactly. Yeah. We have to make a change because right now we have no hope. Definitely not.
I'm hoping that I'm not breathing sunshine. You know, I'm really hoping that I'm not breathing such that. Look, I am not known as an optimist.
Well, you know what? I'm not either, to tell you the truth. But
you know, the old thing.
I'm starting to feel really good about Romney and Ryan. You notice one? I got to say this. This is forget. I'm not going to say it because it's too pat. It's ridiculous. No.
Well, you remember in college, in like first year in college, there was always that thing about. You know, in philosophy or whatever, Western Civ, whatever you took, I don't know.
Western Civ.
About, you know, the difference between an optimist and a pessimist.
Yeah.
You know, when an optimist sees the glass as half full.
Yeah.
And a pessimist sees it as half empty. I'm a realist. I want to know who's been drinking out of my damn glass.
That's good. I like that.
But it's like...
I don't know.
My thing is, the American people are realists. Yes, they can wax optimistic. They can wax pessimistic. But they are realists. They want to know who's been drinking out of their damn glass.
Yeah, well, I think we've found out. And I think that one thing that bothers me, and this is one thing that I don't know why, but I have been thinking about this. Communists, they need to infiltrate in every single part of the government.
Everything.
Okay. What I am concerned about is that these 32 to 35 czars that are out there, and that we have absolutely no idea what they're doing now, how they're being paid, how many people are on their staffs. This is what I think that they're going to try and do. After Obama loses, the czars know that they're going to be gone when Romney comes in.
Yeah.
So what they will do is take their people, put them in jobs throughout all the different agencies, and, you know, they can continue there. Unless we find out who they are and ask them and say, hey, listen, you know what? These positions are being cut. And I'm wondering if the government coming in will have enough intelligence and enough forethought and just get out there and say, we have to deal with this whole problem. I hope they realize we do have a problem.
Without sounding very Fox, and I don't mean Fox as in Fox News.
Right.
I mean Fox as in Fox Television.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean Fox as in Fox Mulder.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is out there.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think that ploy, which I see the validity of it, oh, I see what you're putting down, and I'm picking it up.
Right.
But I also see the fact that I believe that Governor Romney and Representative Ryan, upon taking possession of that public housing on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, will be able to turn around and pretty much damn the torpedoes.
I hope so.
I think they'd be able to turn around and say, okay, look, the czars are gone. every one of you cabinet people need to go back to your department, and before you tell me about how you're going to cut this costs, right, how you're going to improve this for the American people, you need to go back to your departments, and you got to find everybody who got their job in this time frame, mm-hmm, go back 1 year, and was appointed by any of these czars, and fire them.
That's right.
Now.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. And once we have done that sweep, mm-hmm, now let's get about the business of the people. And any place you encounter resistance, mm-hmm, that sounds like it may be because that person came from the previous administration, fire them.
Yep.
And when they turn around and say, oh, gee, well, I really wasn't involved in any of that. I was just voicing my opinion. Oh, okay, we'll take it to labor litigation and we'll talk about it.
Yep.
And when the remediator says, well, you know, this person really didn't have any agenda based on the previous. Okay, fine, you can have your job back.
Yeah.
We're just checking.
Yeah.
We're just doing due diligence in the name of the people, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, okay, all right, so we singled you out, and our bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you proved yourself.
Right.
In the meantime, anybody else that's got a brown shirt on, anybody else that's a fifth columnist is out.
Yeah.
Let's put real life, two-thirds of this country is out of work. Let's get real Americans with real American values and real American ideals and put them to work.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm not big on government sector jobs, but shoot, somebody's got to do them. Let's get real Americans in them. Mm. And I mean all the way down to your county clerk.
Yeah.
I mean here in Maine. Here in Maine.
Mm-hmm.
You call down to certain state agencies and you get someone on the other end of the phone,
mm-hmm,
who has, well, let's call it a marginal grasp of the English language, because after all, that department is on Marginal Way in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
They do everything the marginal way. Anybody that's got a government job that is not a full-tilt boogie citizen in the United States is now out of work.
I'll buy that.
Oh, but I have my green card. I don't care what you've got. Are you a citizen? No, then you're out of work.
That's the problem, too. Obama just did this, this executive order installing part of the DREAM Act back in. And
you know what the nice thing the DREAM Act? You know what the nice thing the DREAM Act has given us?
What?
Thousands of photographs of people that need to be deported on January 22nd.
Let's hope. Let's hope. You know, because Romney has been a very stalwart, in his opposition to amnesty. I mean, he has been, I mean, everybody else during the Republican primaries has said, well, you know, he has said, no,
well,
if you're illegal, you shouldn't be here.
Not everybody.
Well, okay, not everybody. But the thing is,
notably McCain.
McCain? Did you say McCain?
Yeah, McCain thinks it's wonderful. McCain thinks that we should have...
I know, well...
What's the guy's name that's the president of Mexico right now? He should be in... he should be one of the czars.
What is it, Calderon?
Calderon.
Yeah.
Because I was always afraid to say something because I'm always one dude behind, you know?
Yeah, the other one was Vicente Fox.
Fox, yeah, that's the one I was going to say. But Calderon. The thing is, as far as McCain's concerned, he should be running against Schwarzenegger for governor of California, you know.
I know. Well, you know, geez. I mean, California's got its own problems. Let's do a little bit of light stuff. You have any light stuff, any fun stuff? Because we've been really just kind of...
Light stuff and fun stuff. Yes, the Social
like
Security
what?
Administration is the most recent federal agency to be ordering... Bullets. Massive quantities of hollow point ammunition.
Can anybody tell me why? Can you explain to me why? Why?
Yes.
Why does SSA need it?
No, I can tell you why.
Well, tell me why.
And this is what made me giggle a little bit. Was the fact that...
Wait a minute. Hang on. All the baby boomers that are all going to need their Social Security all at once are going to go up there with their walkers and say, give me my money. Is that it? I don't know.
What do you mean? You mean like me?
Like me too. Are you kidding me? Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, no, look, they all have...
They
all have their in-house security people. You know, that's how it is. You know, I mean, they all have, you know, whether it's the IRS, whether it's the ATF, whether it's the Security Administration, whether it's NOAA, whether it's NASA, whether it's...
Okay.
They all have in-house security, and they need to train. It's part of the gig. Look, I'm sorry. I would rather they train than not. You know, because I'm sorry, if somebody walks in with a vest on that's really, really, really thick and starts yelling Allah Akbar, I don't want them hitting me instead of him.
Yeah, true.
If I'm in that building.
Right.
I want them to train. And
When
you train, you don't train. You don't go to work with a howitzer and go train with a BB gun.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So when you buy ammunition, you buy it in bulk by federal contract, and you buy what you use. When you go to take your driver's test to get your car driver's license, you don't pull up in the parking lot in a boat.
Mm-hmm.
You pull up in the car, and you take your driver's test. When you want to take your driver's test for piloting a watercraft, you don't pull up on a motorcycle. You pull up in a boat.
Right, okay.
So when the time comes for you to train, you train with the tools. You don't go to turn a nut with a screwdriver. You use a wrench.
Okay.
So when they order this ammunition, it's because... Now, I understand that InfoWars blew this completely out of proportion. Oh, my God, they're going to be ready for people. All of us baby boomers, myself included, you know, on my walker, which, yes, I have one, to be storming the Bastille of the Social Security Administration with pitchforks and torches, and they're going to be using hollow point ammunition.
Mm-hmm.
Well, two things come right to mind. Of course, they're going to be using hollow point ammunition. That's kind of without say so. Second of all, I still got them beat.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
You know, both in training and materiel, I've still got them beat. Walker or no walker, I'm good at this, and the fact that I'm sitting here is proof there too. So, you know, look, it's. That's why I included this in your Let's Lighten This Up segment, because it's silly.
Mm-hmm.
It's silly. You know, what are you going to say? Oh, well, you know, we have our security forces, and they need to train on their weapons, so we're
really
buying Fords.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Wait. What? Yeah. Well, we put the bid out to Frigidaire, and we put the bid out to Xerox.
Yeah.
For the hollow point ammunition, and they couldn't provide it. Okay. So that's why I injected this in your lighter side of the news, so to speak, segment. Because it's silly. There's enough reality going on out there that's scary enough. There's enough reality out there that's hardcore enough. There's enough reality out there that should be sending ice water up and down. It's taking the place of your cerebrospinal fluid.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, fortunately for us, here in the United States of America, we have the option of flushing that ice water out and putting cerebrospinal fluid back in.
Right, exactly.
And we have one day to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we will do it.
Yep.
We will do it. And not only will we do it, and not only will we flush the ice water out and replace it back with some good, solid, nice, clean cerebrospinal fluid, we will also inject the various and sundry hormones necessary into the males and females of this.
Yeah, let's sing, right, okay.
Hey, you know, I mean, it's like, all right, you want to go to the lighter side of the news? What about this woman now that is charged with having had group sex with 14, 15, and 16-year-old kids?
That's a lie. Okay.
And I'm thinking to myself, they're interviewing these kids, and oh, my God, they're going to send counselors in.
Yeah.
To do what? High five with these guys? Where the hell was this? Where the hell was she when I was in high school?
I know.
Oh, Lou, you crass heathen. Oh, my God, you didn't just say that. Oh, those poor children. What, poor children? They're high-fiving themselves in a locker room like you can't believe. What are you talking about?
I mean, come on, 15, 16-year-old
boys.
Are you blind? That's true. Oh, my gosh. 15, 16-year-old boys.
You know, when did you go to high school? 14, 27?
I know. It's ridiculous. Sometimes it is ridiculous.
Yeah. Even Van Halen got it bad for teacher. what's wrong with this picture? What's wrong with this picture is the fact that we've become so touchy. Oh, but did those boys actually belittle other boys who didn't come in first place in the relay race? What? What? Well, you know, there shouldn't be any winners. Yeah, but those guys were.
Oh, God.
And I know for a fact.
Yes.
Listen,
what?
I'm going to sidebar right here.
Go ahead. Do that.
Nikki. Tony. Angelo. Seventh grade arts and crafts. Eighth grade music. Okay, sidebar over.
Okay.
Because everybody
else, I have no idea. So it's okay.
They know.
They know. Okay, that's good. That's good.
And they know the teachers in question.
Oh, no. Oh, those were the days, huh? Yeah.
Now, listen, I am not condoning inappropriate behavior between adults and minors.
No.
I am not in any way, shape, manner, or form condoning crossing the line between teacher and student. I am not advocating nor condoning the idea that these things are okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that on the odd occasion that it happens, high five, bro. But now, wait, now let's carry the dichotomy just one step over the line.
Okay. Go ahead.
Look at the custody battle with this little girl who was dressed up like Dolly Parton.
Oh, my gosh. I think she's dressed up, yeah. That's...
Well, here's a five-year-old girl with fake breasts and fake gluteus maximus pads.
Right.
In low cut and a wig and doing sexy moves on stage in this television quote unquote reality show.
Yeah, no.
Other than the titillation of other people from afar, I really see no point in it at all in the first place. Second of all, look, if it wasn't for Gerber having a baby on the baby food commercial, we'd never know who Jane Seymour was, okay? I get that. We need children to be models every bit as much as we need anybody else to be a model, whether it's Victoria's Secret, whether it's Cap'n Crunch, mm-hmm. We need models.
Right.
So I get it. But this little girl was
Yeah.
is now the center of a custody battle between her divorcing parents.
Right.
And I'm sorry, people. That entire program, History, Discovery, A&E, all the very Animal Planet, all those networks that are rolled up under, whether it's Time, Inc., or whatever
right.
it is.
Right.
News Corp., whatever it is. Those networks serve a purpose, a very good purpose. However... Toddlers and Tiaras is sick, boys and girls.
Oh,
it's
gosh, yeah.
Freaking sick.
Yeah.
It's just sick. And the fact that they push, like any other show, they push.
Mm-hmm.
And when they push, the contestants try and accommodate.
Yeah.
And it gets deeper and deeper and deeper to the point where this woman had a five-year-old child dressed up like Dolly Parton doing sexy sachets on a runway.
Yeah, I don't approve of that. I think it's disgusting.
That's sick.
It is sick. It is sick.
You know, and yet, you know what? If I were to download that video and have it on my computer,
right,
and someone were looking to have it in for me, they could say, oh, he's got child porn.
That's true.
And they'd come into my house and find that and confiscate my home, my car, my wife, my dogs, my chickens, all my computers, and I have several.
Mm-hmm.
And say, oh, well, we're going to get to the bottom root of this. Oh, yeah, we're going to tear this apart. And not that I would have anything to do with it other than using it as an exemplar for this stuff's sick, people.
Yeah, it is. I think that's abusive. I really think that that type of, that show, what it portrays, and these contests, I think they are child abuse. I really do. They're not good. They can't be good.
If nothing else, there are hundreds, if you add up all the various and sundry contestants, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years and thousands of millions of dollars worth of child psychology bills in the mail as we speak.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Some psychoanalyst is going to get very rich off of these kids.
And Dr. Keith Abloh, part of the Fox News Medical Aid team, wrote a piece on it saying, essentially, and I paraphrase, and excuse me, Dr. Abloh, if I oversimplify on your behalf, this stuff's sick!
Yeah, it is. It is sick. I agree with
him. You know, look, if you take your pug and you put a party hat and a tutu on it, and you make a YouTube video thinking it's cute, most people look at it and go, oh my God, get a life. But nobody was harmed in this. The pug is not going to go down to the medical center and insist on therapy for 6 years on the public dole.
What you're going to have on the video is a ticked off looking pug that wants this damn tutu off of her, you know? That's what you're going to have.
Well, yeah, that's true. But
that's what you're going to have. The dog is going to be running around trying to get the damn tutu off.
Have you seen the one with the dog where they tease it by saying, you know that bacon in the meat drawer?
No.
You know, the maple kind? Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
Oh, my God, I can't see it. I'm sorry. I've seen it 1,000 times, and if I see it at the 2,027
times, you know that bacon? Yeah. I remember. Yes, 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 yes.
Oh, it's hysterical.
It's funny. It's funny, yeah.
That and the groundhog going, Ellen, 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 Ellen. Oh, that's it. I'm so sorry. Look, I got a soft spot for animals. I mean,
Are you kidding me?
I'm the only person within 13 miles of here that has a groundhog in his yard and it doesn't kill it.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you something. I've got one of the little the heck are they called? Chicks. Turkey chicks. And he's limping. And I really wish I could capture it and see what the heck is wrong with it. But now
it's missing something. It's missing something.
It just started limping, and now his mother's limping.
You know what it's missing? It's missing lettuce, tomato.
Shut up! No! And let me tell you something. You would have liked this. I went out to feed the turkeys, and there's two mamas, there's six babies, and two hanger-ons that are always around. And then I go out there, and all of a sudden they all stop, and there's the fox just sitting there waiting for his food, and they're all around the fox, and the fox is looking at them, and they just walk casually by, and it's like, you know, it's like Wild Kingdom.
A veritable peaceable kingdom.
Yeah, that's
in your own backyard.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. Do you know?
Well, I have a peaceable kingdom in my backyard too, with the exception of the occasional boom.
Boom. You know. Yeah. I know, I know. But
look, if they didn't want me to eat them, why'd they make them out of meat?
Yeah, I know. Why'd they make them out of meat? Do you know, one time in my backyard, I heard this horrible noise. I was like, what the heck is going on? And there was this one turkey that had its whole head down the mouth of another turkey.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah.
Yep, I've seen that. And you know what that means to me?
What?
Less ammunition.
Well, you know what? I broke it up. I went down there. Honest to God, I did.
Oh, no. The easy thing is you go down and you grab it and shake one time.
No, there was huge turkeys. It was two male turkeys. It was unbelievable. And I got this branch with leaves on, and I just started hitting them. I said, knock it off, knock it off. And I'm yelling at them, and I'm right next to them. And they broke apart, and they just went on their merry way. I don't care what they did in the woods.
He was taking that piece of popcorn off the back of my tongue. It was killing me.
I don't know. I see. I'm a sucker for an animal. I mean, it comes on my property. I'm Italian, you know. I have to feed it. I have to feed it.
Hey, I feed them too.
Yeah, I know. And then you eat them.
Too. Yeah, it makes them nice and fat.
Fat, yes. You stinker.
Hey, look. You know, like I said, they're made out of meat.
I know.
You know. And I'll tell you, you know, for the people listening, if they don't realize this, I took legally. I took a great big old tom turkey last fall. Empty weight. Put it in the pot weight was 25 pounds.
No.
So it was pushing hard on 30, you know, with his feathers, his head, his guts, etc. He was pushing hard on 30. Not quite worth when I took him down to the state checking station to have him weighed and identified, you know, with his GPS coordinates on where I killed him.
Mm-hmm.
They said, "Well, you know, Rev, it's not that big." Okay, fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I brought him home, and we had him for our ecumenical. Winter solstice, Yule, Christmas. We had people here of every stripe, and we had this monster of a turkey sitting in the middle of the table. And that was my beautiful wife's first exposure to wild turkey. Now, she's had deer, you know, because I've killed deer in the past, and, you know, a pheasant and grouse and, you know, et cetera. Of course, our own chickens, you know, that we raise here. As a matter of fact, I've got a rooster tikka masala on the in the cast iron pots right now that we killed yesterday. And she tasted the wild turkey and said to me, she said, "I don't care who gives me a coupon for where. I'm never buying another turkey in the supermarket ever again."
Wow, okay.
And I said, what are you talking about? She said, this is not the same thing as turkey. This is not Butterball. This is not Swift Supreme. This is not Purdue. This is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, that's what the pilgrims were after, you know, this kind of stuff, because it was yummy. And she said, oh, my God, I never want to eat a store-bought turkey again for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Well, okay. But by the same token, we were at a friend's house recently and had some chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of like breaded paper mache.
I know. Everybody says it's so much better when you raise the chickens yourself. I know.
I remember we do the free range thing. We do the organic thing as best we can. I mean, get the occasional, you know, produce scraps that weren't raised organically, you know, commercially grown, you know, the ends of the celery and the ends of the lettuce, you know, which I'd love to say we eat everything organic, but we don't, you know, so they get that stuff. So they're not considered, you know, completely organic, but they are free range. They eat all the bugs they can get their hands on or beaks on.
Right.
So it doesn't taste, I mean, when you crack, we raise our chickens basically for eggs, and when you crack one of our eggs, the color of the yolk actually takes people aback.
Dark yellow?
Orange,
okay.
Oh, yeah. These are not, when you say sunny side up, you got to decide which sun you're talking about, because these are not yellow. These are not white. These are orange.
Wow.
And, you know, when you start eating like that, and you realize that, you know, you taking in food and nutrition that your body is saying, oh, I know what that is. That's an egg. You know, or I know what that is. That's turkey.
Oh, so everything I've eaten in the past, my body doesn't recognize as anything?
Well, it doesn't. It recognizes it as poultry, but it's not necessarily sure what kind.
Mm.
you know, late Eocene, early Pleistocene kind of bird-ish dinosaur thing, or...
Okay.
You know, well, look, you know, nature does not put them on a styrofoam tray for you with one of those little absorbent things on them.
Yes,
you know,
I know.
And that said, you know, these things matter. And I say that because let's go back to the fact that this is political QRM. These things matter because if we wake up that Friday morning and Romney has not been elected and you did not grow a garden this year, you're going to wish you did.
Oh, yeah.
If you did not buy a gun this year and there's deers in your yard and turkeys in your yard, you're going to wish you did.
No, this is very important, this election. This election is very important. I really think it's the most important election.
Fuel oil this afternoon, because I checked. It's a habit. It's just something I got into years ago.
Yeah.
And I have a cash only fuel oil distributor in my neighborhood. And their website is one of the, you know, you get up, you get your quote unquote homepage,
right,
and then
what's the cost?
Everybody would. And then you go to your next thing that you always do, and your next thing that you always do, and your next thing that you always do. Well, one of the things I always do is check the price of fuel oil. It's part of my daily morning ritual. I got my coffee, I got my sweet roll. I go to my, you know, Fox News, my Western
Korea. All right, and?
Fuel oil today is at $3.39.
Oh, my God.
When we moved here 7 years ago last month,
yeah,
fuel oil was $1.89.9.
Oh, yeah. I know. It's disgusting.
And if you think it's going down anytime soon, you better hope you've got enough fuel oil to last until the day after Election Day.
Are you kidding? No. I mean, gasoline is up.
And the president wants to tap the strategic oil reserve.
Isn't that amazing? He's got some damn nerve for political reasons.
Well, why
reasons.
Do you, why have all the other
political reasons?
Why have all the other presidents not done that?
Because they realize we need it.
Whereas, not just that we need it. No, it's not just a question of that we need it.
We have if to you, keep that on reserve. We can't just tap into
but
it whenever.
If you did tap into it, what difference does it make?
What do you mean, what difference does it make? That puts us at greater risk.
No, I mean as far as price is concerned. So let's just say we dump 1 billion barrels of oil into the market tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
When do you expect the price of gasoline would go down?
Depends. I guess speculators or, I don't know.
I'd say at least 12 to 14 weeks, because that's how long it takes to move it to a refinery and get it through the process. The problem isn't oil supply, boys and girls. The problem is the fact that the liberals have not allowed us to build a refinery in 27 years.
That's true.
And it's all, we should look into renewable energy and extended plant energy. Yeah, but where are you going to put a nuclear plant? We haven't built a nuclear plant since 1971.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's another one. You know, I have always wondered thing, and I have to say this, okay? And I've gotten into arguments with people. There is this big push now, and it has been for the past, 50 years, solar energy, wind energy. Let me just say this. How long has man been on the earth? How long has the sun been shining on the earth? And how long has the wind been blowing? Now, don't you think if these were real, viable energy...
They are.
They are. But not for a major consumption. Not like oil.
Yes, they are.
So where is the technology then? Why has it not been implemented to the point where we can be completely dependent on that instead of oil and natural gas? Why
NIMBY.
Hasn't that been...
NIMBY.
Not in my backyard. Well, I don't know.
Look,
let me tell you something. No. I take that back.
Joe Kennedy, who is in bed with Cesar Chavez.
Yeah.
Even Joe... Oh, call 1-800...
Yeah, I know. Whatever.
Royal. All right, because he's.
Look, but the son's been around forever, Lou.
I will not get graphic on the relationship I imagine Joe Kennedy having with Cesar Chavez.
Yeah, Chavez.
All right? But here he is, a communist, socialist,
and
all these other people in bed together, you know, very much like that old spiritual shortening bread, you know, laying in bed, you know, the whole thing. All right? All these people in bed together, and Joe Kennedy is in bed with Cesar Chavez because he will not allow wind farms off Nantucket because it will destroy
the view.
The aesthetic of Nantucket.
I know.
35 miles away. 35 miles. He couldn't, with a doggone good telescope, see it from Nantucket.
And that
is against it.
And that is the difference between liberals and conservatives. Right there.
That really, really, really. If you need anything else to provide you with a more graphic illustration of the difference between conservatives and liberals, if you need anything more graphic than that, then I'm sorry, I pity you. You're just too dense. You know what? Please do not vote. If you're that dense, please do not vote. Stay home.
Yep.
You know, save us the worry about whether we can counteract your vote. Just stay the hell home. You're
That's too stupid. That's true.
You know,
And
I'm sorry.
Don't cancel out my vote, yeah.
You know, please, don't cancel out my vote because you're that stupid.
Yep.
And you know what else?
What? Yes?
Somebody has to be willing to stand there and tell people, you are stupid.
I think some people are starting. Let's start with Joe Biden. Somebody's got to walk up to him and say, you know, you're stupid.
I think they have. I think his handlers have. They've said, Joe, shut up.
That man is unbelievable. I can't. The only nice thing
about this past week is the fact that Joe Biden has been such a clown that nobody's listening to Nancy Pelosi.
I don't know. I think they put her somewhere and threw the key away because she's been pretty quiet. Oh, gosh. You know, Lou.
Anyhow, okay, so we're looking down the barrel of the fact that we're about ready to wrap up.
Yep. Yes, we are.
And for the people that are taking... Okay, look, there are people actually taking numbers on this right now, okay?
Taking numbers? You mean as in betting?
Yeah.
Okay, give me.
We have Italian American listeners listening, and you know, come on, you know. I'm talking about a little of this,
Okay.
And they're betting right now, so I'm going to settle the pool for them right now. Yes, I am thoroughly involved in my Vicodin right now. Okay. So now, figure out who won, who lost, figure the odds, who had 2-1, who had 3-1. You know, you know, give and take, and, you know.
By the way, just for those of you who don't know, this is medically necessary for Lou, and it is prescribed by a physician.
Oh, yes, indeed. No.
He did not score it on the corner.
No, I spent way too many years behind a bat to be playing any games like that.
That's right.
You know, this is all straight up, you know, legit, you know, stuff. And no, I will not sell you any. So...
Listen, folks, it's been actually July has been a very bad month for American servicemen over in Afghanistan.
Oh, my God. It's been a bad for American servicemen everywhere.
Yeah, this week has been horrible. And
bring them home!
Yeah, bring them home, folks. We need to bring them home. But please, just kind of say a small prayer for those who have died in the past 2 weeks. At the hands of our supposed friends, and say a prayer for their families.
Yes, please. And we have a president and 35 of his
czars.
You know, they call them czars, but there's got to be a little bit closer.
Commissars. Yeah, I don't know.
Comrades, commissars. There's 35 people directly reportable to the president of the United States who have turned loose technology on the people of the United States of America, whether it's today, yesterday, tomorrow, the week after, you know, trying to keep tabs on you and I when this technology should be used on making sure that the United States of America is the nation it was and the nation it is and the nation it should be in perpetuity. The experiment, the noble experiment known as the United States of America, is going to be usurped by this man and 35 other people underneath his little left wing.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, good men and good women are sacrificing their lives, liberty, and sacred honor to preserve the way of life that he seeks to usurp.
That's right.
And let's not let their blood be spilled in vain. And gods, please carry their souls. And gods, please carry the spirits of their family. And God bless the United States of America.
Samson, speak. Good boy.